with the California Craft Brewers Association, Sierra Nevada will be celebrating their Hop Harvest Festival on October 20th, featuring fresh hop beers from more than 50 breweries. Tickets go on sale August 23rd, that is tomorrow, at sierranevada.com. And Non-Human Radio, coming up next, is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local, seasonal, and organic delights at Farm Star Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farm Star features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts. And they have vegan, oh yes, vegan and gluten-free offerings, as well as craft beer and eclectic wines. Farm Star Pizza is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, with live music every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening. They're located in Chico at 2359 The Esplanade. And you can also find Farm Star Pizza on Facebook and at farmstarpizza.com. And we're also made possible by locally owned and operated and serving all of Northern California since 2002, Rescue Technology Solutions, which provides on-site and remote computer repair, monthly maintenance, security, virus removal, and more. For information about the Rescue Technology Solutions, visit rescuetech.net or call them at 888-817-2667. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Hello, and welcome to the August 22nd, 2018 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, and streaming online at kzfr.org. With me, as usual, is my co-host, Danny Toms. Danny, please give the listeners a summary of what they'll be hearing in the next half hour or so.
Today, we'll be talking about animals in the media. First, with a story on changes in the stock photography industry as it regards the unnatural images of wild animals they frequently have for display. Next, after 116 years, animal crackers are no longer behind bars. We'll give you the details of their freedom. We'll finish with a story on USDA dairy subsidies, one of our favorite topics, and the doctors that are protesting that decision. Jeannie, take it forth.
Thank you so much, Danny. Before we begin, I just wanted to let our listeners know about some breaking news regarding another one of our favorite agencies, our favorite scofflaw federal agency, Wildlife Services. Siskiyou County in the North State just canceled its $67,000 annual contract with Wildlife Services.
Yay.
Under its Siskiyou contract, Wildlife Services was killing 28,000 animals in the county in the 8 years spanning 2008 to 2016. As we've discussed before, this agency's killing program targets ecologically important native wildlife such as coyotes, mountain lions, and black bears, and they do all that without assessing the environmental damage in doing so. And, of course, not considering alternatives, like not killing the animals and figuring out other ways to avoid whatever issues they are causing for humans. Using inhumane and indiscriminate methods like traps and snares, Wildlife Services also killed non-target animals, including domestic dogs and cats, as well as thousands of birds every year. Siskiyou, I'm happy to announce, is the fourth county in California to drop its contract with this indiscriminate killing agency. It joins Mendocino, Monterey, and Shasta County, which we reported on just last week. Sadly, of course, this list does not yet include Butte County. And a quick look at the Butte County Board of Supervisors agenda and minutes. They, our lovely Butte County Board of Supervisors, unanimously approved a contract with Wildlife Services in June of this year, that's 2018, to the tune of $73,000 a year. Wildlife Services reports killing nearly 12,000 animals in Butte County in the 9 years spanning 2008 to 2017, including river otters, black bears, mountain lions, and feral cats. And now we'll go back to our originally planned news, unless Danny has any comment on that.
Boo.
Yeah, I hope that Butte County steps up. I hope that, you know, in the next month or so. Or
I mean, I do think it's hard in the sense that I'm sure a county supervisor is not a glorious overpaid position. I'm sure they're understaffed and overworked. And if they were to kill this program, they need to have a replacement. And sometimes it's easier just to continue to approve previous things because you can't deal with it.
There's a lot of inertia that goes on with these annual renewals.
But nevertheless, if Siskiyou and Shasta County can do it, Butte County should certainly be in the running.
All right, so our regularly planned story. Adweek reported in June of this year that stock photo companies have agreed to stop accepting images of wild animals in what they consider unnatural poses. This is from an article in the trade magazine Adweek about how PETA persuaded several major stock image companies to limit images of wild animals to those photos taken in zoos and in natural habitats. Which is an interesting distinction, right?
Yeah, and in case people, you know, aren't quite sure what we're talking about, you know, anytime you're seeing an ad or an image on the internet of cookies and it's got some attractive people eating a cookie in a funny way, you know, those are usually stock images. Most companies don't have the money to go out and hire models and photographers. They go to certain websites which provide photographs of everything, and you query what you want and say, I want a bear, and you get a picture of a bear. And so
I think unless the object that's being sold is clothing,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes food, where you have food stylists and they're taking very specific pictures of a specific item. But all the rest of it is stock photos. This article was written by T.L. Stanley and was published in the June 29th issue of Adweek. It used to be a go-to gag in advertising to dress a chimpanzee in a tiny men's suit, top it off with a fedora, and put him in a commercial. He seemed to be smiling, so he was having a good time, right? And what about that orangutan riding a bicycle, or the ape playing a musical instrument? Those images, which once proliferated in media and marketing, have largely been dropped from mainstream advertising through a concerted, years-long effort by PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, which says that the portrayals are damaging to conservation efforts and to the primates themselves. And I just want you to think back. If you've, you know, watched TV for a number of years, you may not even have missed these animals, these depictions of animals in commercials. Well, partly because you're probably fast-forwarding through commercials, too. After convincing the world's top 10 largest ad agencies to stop using great apes in their ad campaigns in 2012, PETA turned its attention to stock photo services, asking the companies to take what they call unnatural depictions of animals out of sale and circulation. As a result of these talks, the agencies LME, Dreamstime and Shutterstock and others will be scouring their existing catalogs and removing inappropriate images. For example, if there's a chimp in makeup or wearing a tiara, that type of image is considered unnatural and will be removed from their catalog for sale. The companies, along with the stock art giant Getty Images, which is a really big company, have also rewritten their rules on accepting pictures or videos of primates, limiting submissions to those taken in natural habitats or zoos. So stock photo agencies provide artwork and images for a wide range of commercial and creative projects like print ads, greeting cards, calendars, websites, social media, book covers, and packaging. So that change will have an impact far beyond just day-to-day advertising. Advertising is a reflection of our society.
Yeah, I mean, what you do daily and what you experience daily forms your thoughts, and you see that, of course, in all the sort of fake news hysteria or the propaganda news hysteria or whatever's going on. If you're seeing one thing all the time, you internalize it and think that that's reality. And if every animal you see is kind of in these unnatural zoo-like situations, you don't see anything wrong with it. And I know I'm gonna blow up our time schedule. Like, I just saw a Facebook video go by by friend, and it's a quote-unquote nice video of a pretty woman rubbing against a, you know, hanging out with a pretty big cat and petting its head, and it's showing, oh, look how beautiful they both are. And I'm looking at it going, that's a wild animal. A human should never be doing that with a mountain lion or whatever this animal was. And you're also sending the message to people that, oh, these big cats are big, cuddly pets. And then you get people like Hollywood in the 70s, everybody wants to own a tiger. And inevitably, you know, the tiger eats somebody or bites somebody and the tiger gets killed. And it's unhappy anyway. It's a wild animal, so it's not domesticated.
Exactly. And I think it's that's the problem that we see when we have photo ops with cubs, bear
right.
cubs and tiger cubs. It imposes our society on these animals, and then that animal gets reflected back in our society.
Right. So that, just to reiterate, so this is a big impact by removing this sort of imagery.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. Dreams Time, which is one of these stock photo agencies, Dreams Time CEO Serban Eneche made the decision when PETA gave him the backstory on some famous infamous ad tropes, busting the myth that performing animals are happy. Adweek spoke to Julia Gallucci, who is a primatologist and is also PETA's senior corporate liaison, about the sea change in public attitude toward animal actors when a smile is not really a smile. Gallucci explained to Adweek that unacceptable images are those that are taken in studios or other unnatural settings in which the animal is there for the purpose of having their photo taken. This criteria means that there will be a reduction in the number of inappropriate images of primates smiling, behaving unnaturally, being dressed in clothing, etc., that are currently available for ads and other commercial uses. So yeah, to be clear, if you see a chimpanzee smiling, that is your human
right.
imposition on that animal's expression. It actually means something very different in chimpanzee language. It's more right. of a grimace. It's not a smile. It's something that's trained. Exceptions to this rule are unnatural. This is interesting. The exceptions to this rule are unnatural or inappropriate images of animals that will be available for editorial, not commercial use, right? So there's this big divide in, particularly in print, but also in video, of like, what is advertising? What is editorial content? These types of images are important for editorial use because they have historical value and they document the current exploitation of primates in the pet trade, in laboratory testing, and in entertainment. The societal impact of these changes is expected to be broad. A number of studies, including two conducted by researchers at the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago and Harvard University, show that the inaccurate portrayal of apes in the media hinders conservation efforts and may also increase the demand for these wild animals as pets. People see them as cute and interesting and buy them without having any real knowledge of their needs or lifespan, which can be up to 45 years in some cases. So this is where media, these commercial companies, meets policy, and that meshes with laws that regulate whether people can own these wild animals. We have quite a few of them in the United States. California's particularly tough, but other states aren't. Other countries are not tough at all. So this kind of thing can affect globally, a global society.
Right. I mean, it's a big trade in these animals, and if you have a bunch of consumers in one place, it increases the trade, obviously.
So primates do not fare well when kept as pets, by the way. They are usually isolated from other animals and relegated to cages. And once they outgrow infanthood, they become unruly and aggressive, and owners often get rid of them at that point. They are shuffled from home to home or may end up at a roadside zoo. And sometimes they are euthanized. Most pet monkeys suffer from depression, and many self-mutilate, which is an obvious sign of psychological distress.
I mean, there was the case of the woman on the East Coast a few years ago who kept a baboon, had raised a baboon and kept it, and it eventually ripped her face off and killed her.
That was a chimpanzee.
Chimpanzee,
and,
okay.
Yeah, and she tried to treat him as a member of the family,
yeah.
And yeah, he was a chimpanzee. The changes in the stock image industry is making... The changes that the stock image industry is making means that we will see a reduction of exploitative images of primates in ads and other media, and will have a positive impact on primates, both at the individual and species level. And let's not forget that we humans are primates too, and I think it'll have an advantageous effect on us human primates.
For sure, yeah.
Over to you, Danny, for story number two.
All right. In a related story of animals in the media, after 116 years, Nabisco is uncaging the animal crackers.
Awesome.
The packaging of Barnum's Animals, a classic Nabisco snack, doesn't depict the exotic creatures in cages anymore. Instead, a zebra, an elephant, a lion, a giraffe, and a gorilla are out roaming among grass and trees.
It's really astonishing.
Yeah.
So we're talking about animal crackers. It's like that little cardboard box with a little rope handle on it.
Yeah.
And that has, on the face of it, until now, about five animals behind bars.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And if you think that's not a big deal, what if, like, every baby portrait you showed, you know, had a baby roasting over coals or something? You would be like, that's kind of horrifying. Maybe I went too far there, but like, that's what, you know, showing these poor animals in cages is like, and also shows how we get inured to it, and so it's good to remove it. The change comes at the urging of animal rights organization PETA, which in 2016 started pressuring Nabisco's parent company, Mondelez International, because all these mega corporations always have parent companies for tax dollar stealing and offshoring purposes. They lobby them to change the package design. PETA informed Mondelez that cruises often beat, shock, chain, and whip animals, not cruises, circuses. I wouldn't be surprised if cruises did, but circuses are often, you know, treating animals horribly to intimidate them into performing tricks because, you know, wild animals don't do tricks, you know, that are uncomfortable for no reason. Other cruel practices include separating baby animals from the mothers and keeping them, obviously, in cages and chains. The animal cracker's name isn't being changed. The product is technically called Barnum's Animal Crackers, which is, of course, a reference to the showman P.T. Barnum, who did lots of horrible things with animals in circuses and has long part of the name of the most famous U.S. circus, Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, the formerly known greatest show on earth. Because as we have previously reported, Ringling Brothers closed down in May 2017 after 146 years in operation. They cited high operating costs, legal fights with animal welfare groups, and declining ticket sales once the circus agreed to stop using elephants in the show, which had been a concession to the increasing legal and societal pressure. PETA Executive Vice President Tracy Ryman said that the new box for Barnum's Animal Crackers perfectly reflects that our society no longer tolerates the caging and chaining of wild animals for circus shows. PETA is celebrating this redesign just as we've celebrated the end of Ringling Brothers Circus and the introduction of animal circus bands across the U.S. This was from articles by Zalati Meyer in the August 21st, 2018 issue of USA Today and by Matthew Hogg in the August 21st, 2018 issue of the New York Times.
So I just think this is astonishing. You know, we just reported on no more unnatural images of primates in for commercial use. And this little box, this is something that little kids see. Like, it's not, there's not a lot of verbiage on it. It's a really striking image from my childhood. I know after I went vegan, and by the way, these crackers, these animal crackers are accidentally vegan. So as a vegan, you could indulge and buy these things and eat them. But I would always feel like a little twinge of guilt because of this image of the animals. I always felt like I was supporting that image by buying this package.
Yeah, I mean,
now it's changed.
Yeah, I went to a zoo once as a kid and I was like, I love the animals. This is great. And after thinking about it for a few days, I was like, that was kind of horrible. Those poor animals that can't move about, you know, like big giant animals in tiny enclosures, you know. And this is also representative of that. So it's good news.
So good for Mondelez and good for Nabisco. This is you know, a really old brand. It's a big thing to change their look, but it's also something that they kind of needed to do, just to refresh their brand.
Yeah.
You know? So hopefully it'll benefit them and.
Yeah, suspiciously, like, it doesn't, you know, this is probably not the biggest seller in the world, so any press is often good press also. So
there
it's kind of a win-win for them, I think.
Yeah, for sure. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.0 FM, listener-supported community radio, co-hosted by Jeannie Trezino, that's me, and Danny Toms. And we're going to close today's show with two more related news pieces from last week's online edition of Veg News from the magazine. The United States Department of Agriculture, the USDA, paid $50 million to dairy farmers in exchange for approximately 11 to 13 million gallons of milk, which the USDA plans to distribute to national food assistance programs such as food banks and schools. The government invoked a Depression-era law, the Agricultural Adjustment Act Amendment, to legitimize the purchase, making the first time in history that the USDA has paid for liquid milk, right? Typically, food assistance programs have paid through the USDA have paid for more shelf-stable items like the infamous American processed cheese,
government
right?
Government cheese, yeah.
So while sales of plant-based milk have tripled since 2006, global dairy consumption of liquid milk has declined by 22%, according to data released last month by Cargill, which is the world's largest animal feed supplier, a factor that led to an all-time record surplus of 78 million gallons of milk in the United States last year. And I didn't even do the math to tell you how many cows it takes to produce that much milk and how many calves get born every year and how many heifers, female calves, are stuck in hutches waiting to become the next generation of cows in this industry, but it's not a small number. To mitigate lost profits, major dairy companies have severed ties with milk suppliers, as evidenced by Dean Foods, which ended its contracts with dozens of dairy farms in May of this year and actually diverted funding from dairies towards developing its flax milk brand, Good Karma Foods, which is a company that it holds a majority stake. According to the USDA, it authorized the purchase, quote, to encourage the continued domestic consumption of these products by diverting them from the normal channels of trade and commerce.
Yeah, wait, okay, go on. There's a word for what this is being pretended to masked as.
The USDA's historic bailout.
Ah, bailout, yes.
illustrates how low-income communities continue to be targeted by the milk industry, despite a consumer shift towards plant-based dairy for environmental, health, and animal welfare reasons.
And it's not like anyone's going to drink all these millions of gallons of milk before it goes bad either. It's really a bailout, you
yes.
know.
In a related story, also from Veg News, hundreds of medical professionals gathered in front of the White House this week to protest against this USDA buyout and subsequent plans to distribute millions of gallons of liquid milk to national assistance programs. The Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM, marched with a sign that read, "Ditch the dairy," to raise awareness about the damaging health effects of consuming animal-based milk. PCRM founder, physician Neil Barnard, told Veg News that, quote, "Instead of spending millions bailing out the milk industry, the government should ditch the dairy. The USDA's milk bailout unfairly burdens students and others who rely on federal food programs with increased risk of heart disease, diabetes, and lactose intolerance, among other chronic health conditions." And that is just laying it on the line by Dr. Neil Barnard there. This is giving bad, unhealthy food to poor people.
And this, you know, and often certain people routinely vote against their own self-interest. And so this is another case of this bailout does not help Midwestern farmers. You know, no, they're not going to bail them out again next year and the year after that ad infinitum, you know. Giving them $10 million to restructure their business and to find another business model or another product, that would be helpful.
Sure, yeah.
Just this one-time payment doesn't help anyone at all, you know?
And we've talked about cow dairies that are converting to, you know, rebranding and selling plant milk. That's one way out. So.
All right. So now I think it's time for the Chico Animal Rights calendar of events. What do you think, Janie?
I think it's about time for that.
All right.
All right. And if you need more info on any of these events, please send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com or go ahead and message me through and check up on Non-Human Radio on Facebook. But we have on Saturday, August 25th, the Chico Vegan Potluck is being held at 6 p.m. at the Chico Library Community Room. The theme for this month is stretch. That is a challenge to use a new ingredient or try a new flavor in your cooking. I know I myself am trying out rose water, something I've seen as an exotic ingredient. I'm looking forward to using that. As always, the plant-based Chico group will have a special table for Whole Foods plant-based goodies. And you can find other potluck details and the schedule for the remainder of the year at chicovegan.com. And that's the Chico Vegan Potluck from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Chico Public Library. On August 26th, Sunday, August 26th, as part of Chico's annual Pride Weekend, woohoo, The amazing Leon Bistro presents an incredible free brunch for the whole community. There will be plenty of coffee, juice, and breakfast options, including vegan and gluten-free options. The community brunch is open to folks of all ages, so come to the 1 Mile Recreation Area at Bidwell Park from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday, August 26th, and share Chico Pride. On next Thursday, August 30th, is the Plant-Based Chico Monthly Meeting, hosted by Plant-Based Chico. They will be meeting to share tips and tricks on how to be a happy, healthy, whole foods, plant-based vegan with no added salt, oil, or sugar. This is a monthly free event open to the public. And for more information, you can check out the Plant-Based Chico Facebook group. And this will be Thursday, August 30th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Chico Guild Hall at 2775 Nord Avenue. And it's open to the public. September 1st, which is two Saturdays from now, is the National Wear a Vegan T-Shirt Day. That's all day, and it can take place anywhere and everywhere. And all you have to do is wear a vegan T-shirt. It's a great day to invite someone out to have an all-vegan meal and have a civil conversation about veganism and maybe plant some seeds. Or you can just let your T-shirt do your talking for you. And here's some of my favorite kind of sayings I've seen on shirts. Danny right now is wearing one that says animal liberation, which is pretty awesome. There's another one that says kaling them with kindness, which is a riff on kale, the leafy green that people love to hate. Another one is not your body, not your bacon. Another one is anything you can eat, I can eat vegan. I actually have that shirt, and it's true. Or one of my other favorites is humane meat does not exist. Now, if that's not just a slap in the face to some of your friends, I don't know what else is, but it's true.
I have a confession that I kind of like kale now, but only when it's got garlic involved.
It's all in how you prepare it.
Yeah.
It's kind of rough to just jam a piece of kale into like a smoothie. That's kind of rough. Anyway, you're encouraged to share selfies and post them with the hashtag vegan t-shirt day. And also I recommend the hashtag Chico Vegan, which is just generally a good hashtag to check out, especially on Instagram. You can find a lot of good vegan eats using that. Sunday, September 2nd, is the Rancho Compasión Hoedown, hosted by Rancho Compasión, which is a farmed animal sanctuary founded by Miyoko Schinner, who also founded Miyoko's Kitchen and who also makes awesome vegan cheese, butter, and cream cheese, and who is also the author of several gourmet vegan cookbooks. This is a fundraiser for her farmed animal sanctuary in Nicasio, which is in Marin County, and that'll be on Sunday, September 2nd from 3 to 6 p.m. And for more information and to register, you can go to www.ranchocompasion. That's compassion with only one S, compassion.org. And I want to give a heads up. On September 15th, Saturday, September 15th, is the Chico chapter of Dharma Voices for Animals Cooking for Compassion and Health series. This will be a small hands-on workshop on Indian cuisine taught by Sherry Morgado. And we'll be exploring the ingredients, spices, and techniques that make Indian food, vegan Indian food, so delicious and healthy. And it'll be a full meal. You can get tickets at brownpapertickets.com, and the class will be held at the Sky Creek Dharma Center. And we have coming up, also to end up at the end of next month, take a look at your calendar if you're a single. September 29th is going to be the Veg Speed Date in Sacramento, hosted by Oblivion Comics and Veg Speed Date. That'll be from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. in Sacramento. This fall is the time to find Veg Love. Veg Love will be there to help you at the awesome Oblivion Comics and Coffee. They'll be throwing an event for Veg singles ages 21 and above, and a pairing format for male-female speed dating. And if you don't make a date or a friendship match on your first try, you get to try again at the next event for half price. So for more information, go to findveglove.com, and that is September 29th, Veg Speed Dating. All right. I think that is about it for the calendar. Again, if you have any events to share, if you have comments on the show or topics you want me to cover, please send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com. And Danny, we have one last piece of business to take care of. That is the animal rights quote of the week. Take it away, Danny.
Our animal rights quote of the week is from Dave Merrill and Lauren Leatherby, who recently published an infographic on land use in the United States for the Bloomberg website. Here are some quotable quotes from their infographic, which is based on publicly available federal and state data. Did you know that more than one-third of U.S. land is used for pasture? That's one-third. I suspect it's also very cheap and subsidized. There's a single major occupant on all this land, cows. Between pastures and cropland used to produce feed for those animals, 41% of U.S. land in the contiguous United States revolves around livestock. Not vegetables, not other things, just cows. Yet the actual land area used to grow the food Americans eat is only about the size of Indiana, Illinois, and half of Iowa combined.
That's remarkable. And that reminds me of the saying by Howard Lyman, the mad cowboy, the vegan activist, farmers should be growing food for people, not for animals.
Yep, indeed. Non-human radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, or its staff.
We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow earthlings who would rather not be killed than eaten, farmed, hunted, raced, experimented upon, put in chains, behind bars, and otherwise abused.
Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist rockers Rise Against. Stay tuned for The Real Issue from 6 to 7 p.m. coming up next. Sue Hildebrand is in the studio and is ready to educate and motivate you.
This is Danny Toms and Jeannie Trezino signing off. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind.
And go vegan.